Bonjour.
Hello and welcome to So French, the show about the twists and turns, intrigues and insights to all things French.
Every 2 weeks, we select the best, most interesting and fascinating of French news stories, all brought to you from a studio in the heart of Paris. I'm Stéphane de Vries.
And my name is Sarah Bertelson. And this week, the mystery of the babies born without arms, a new health scandal and a possible cover-up by authorities. We'll talk you through the story that's grappling France.
And making fun of the president can be a lucrative business. Tens of thousands of euros go to migrants and homeless people, thanks to Emmanuel Macron's best or worst quotes.
But first, united we stand, divided we fall, or I don't know, after Scotland and Catalonia, another independence referendum. This one is not as, you know, not as covered in media, one could say, and maybe
also because
not...
it's taking part at the other side of the world.
Exactly, yeah. Probably. It's nonetheless quite important. It's taking place very far away.
Yeah, it's about the far away territories of New Caledonia. Where do you say?
Where is New Caledonia? Well, I actually have had to have a look quite a few times at the map to find this place. It's a French island territory in the southwestern Pacific. It's at 18,000 kilometers wow. from Paris. Nonetheless, French. It lies off the Australian east coast and, you know, sort of north of
yeah, New literally
Zealand.
In the middle of nowhere.
One could say, well,
yeah.
But that also means that most French people have never visited New Caledonia and most New Caledonians have never been to the French mainland.
Yeah, incredible. And what's interesting is that according to the United Nations, this is one of just 17 colonies on the planet left. So it's technically France's last colony.
And part of the list that where the UN says it should be decolonized.
Exactly. And of course, this term is politically sensitive. But this weekend, the New Caledonians, they can choose for independence or not. Are they going to become an independent country or will they stay connected to France? It is an island, a group of islands, actually, home to about 270,000 people. 39% of them are indigenous Melanesians. They're known locally as Kanaks. And 27% are descendants of French settlers. They are called Caledonians.
Well, they're also called Caldachs, I think. Caldachs
yeah.
or Caldachs. Yes. And the Kanaks, so the indigenous people, they're actually, their part of the population is decreasing year after year. So there are fewer and fewer Kanaks as part of the
yeah.
main population. But yeah, so they are allowed to, on this weekend, vote on their future relationships with France. As we're recording this, of course, we don't know what the result will be. It looks like, it has been looking like through the polls, that most people will vote to remain French. But this is, of course, a very sensitive issue, and it has a quite bloody history, this referendum, because in the 1980s, there was quite a few people who died during clashes between the French authorities and those who wanted independence. This led to a lot of negotiations and eventually to a peace treaty, a treaty that the Nouméa Accords, it's called, is from the main city, Nouméa. And in these accords, there was this independence referendum set out. And so that's why they're holding it now. And we will see what's going to happen. But, you know, those who want to remain, of course, claim that, you know, the French connection has given them an advantage.
Yeah, yeah. It is, of course, an important strategic island because it's close to Australia and China, the new center of world power. Or
which is why
future.
I think French went there from the beginning
yeah.
because they were worried that there was too much British influence in that part of the world. The Brits had already colonized Australia and parts of the other islands in the area. So that's why the French went there to sort of balance the balance power.
Yeah, they took a couple of
but
small
I mean
islands.
Of course, yeah, for France, of course, it was important to have some kind of base in that part of the world.
And then there's the fact that New Caledonia has a quarter of the nickel reserves, and nickel is an important part of electronics. So
all our cell phones and I think all our electronic devices have
some nickel. Yes, indeed. So so that's important. But it's strange that here in France on the mainland, or as they call the France métropole, there's not a lot of talk about this independence or about this referendum. Do you think the French don't really care about what's going on there?
Well, it is covered in media in one way, but I don't hear people talk about it generally in the streets or in the cafes. It's not a main topic. No, I don't think people really care, to be honest. I don't think it feels for people that if the Caledonians would vote to become an independent state, that they would, that France would actually lose a main part of its its territory or of its, you know, identity.
Yeah. And then even if they will lose it, there's still French Polynesia also in the same neighborhood, well, in the Pacific Ocean. So France will keep a presence.
Well, you do have some politicians campaigning very intensely for New Caledonia to remain French, which are Marine Le Pen, one of them, and Laurent Wauquiez, the leader of the Conservative Party, the Républicain. Both of them have been actually visiting New Caledonia ahead of this referendum and very strongly pronouncing themselves in the favor of them to remain French. And Emmanuel Macron, the French president, even him, while he was a candidate to the presidency, said that he thought that New Caledonia should remain French. Now, as a president, he says it's not his job to interfere, so he has been remaining very, very neutral in this whole story.
Yeah, and as you said, the polls estimate that the majority will vote against independence. The polls, latest polls, showed between 60 and 75%. The results will be known on Sunday, so November the 4th, around 1 p.m. And French local time. And at that moment, President Macron will give a statement on television. But it looks like Nouvelle Calédonie will stay part of France, right?
For now.
For now.
And now, at the helmet of this French Republic, with or without New Caledonia as part of it, a very tired president, apparently. What's it all about?
Yeah, Emmanuel Macron, allegedly, he needs some rest. So the Jupiter, the god of the gods, the king of the gods, he needs some rest because he has been working too hard. It's basically rumors, because he decided this week to hold the Council of Ministers on Tuesday, and usually it's always on Wednesday morning. So he was able to take a couple of days of rest in Normandy on the coast, because apparently he is very tired.
And this has stirred some controversy.
Absolutely. I mean, he's young, of course. Well, relatively young, only 40 years old. And he has this image of this invincible, like a Duracell rabbit going on and on.
You know, my kids, they're exhausted come autumn break as well. And I mean, they're very energetic, most of the time. Don't we all need a break one time?
Yeah, I think in November it's especially, it becomes cold, the days are shorter. Maybe this has to do with this as well. But the French media, they took it very seriously. They have speculated that he was very, too tired, that he was maybe too tired to continue governing. The daily newspaper Le Parisien reported that several unnamed, they're always unnamed, of course, confidants of Macron are worrying that he works so much and that he almost never sleeps. He has physically lost weight.
But wasn't this part
weight?
Of his strength from the beginning? That yeah. the man who yeah. never sleeps, that he needs only 4 hours of sleep. That was part of his strength. And now it's part of his weakness.
Yeah, apparently. And another person said, it's a period of doubt. He's questioning everything. Well, you know, if you turn 40, then it starts
it's
to question.
Part of life, yeah, I guess.
40 years
but
crisis.
But do you think, I mean, why is French media hitting so hard on this? Is there actually a reason to believe that the French president is exhausted, or well, are they just,
well,
just
it's,
blowing
it's,
this
it's
out of proportion?
Probably an incredibly stressful job. He's flying all around the world. We saw that also with Obama, who was a very young, energetic person when he became a president, and very quickly he got gray hair.
He had the right to take some time off,
course,
right?
Of course, but I think the French media and the French maybe in general want their father figure to watch over them 24 hours a day. And the fact that the president is also a normal person who sometimes needs some sleep and some rest. I think they have it, they find that difficult to accept. But, you know, French media were also speculating about the fact that he had a lot of political missteps the last couple of months. So he need to recuperate from that. And there's a lot of speculation and you know, one of the reasons that he was taking rest this week was also the fact that after this weekend, there will be like a week full of commemorations. It will be a century ago that the First World War ended. On Sunday the 11th, there's a big ceremony in Paris with Donald Trump coming, Vladimir Putin, a lot of world leaders.
You might need to be rested for that meeting with Putin and Trump.
Absolutely. Actually, I will be there at the Arc de Triomphe on Sunday at 11th, but nobody will probably notice me. But there will be a lot of world leaders. And he's traveling all around France in the next couple of days because of all those commemorations of World War One. So it's going to be a very hectic week. And, well, he was in Normandy, or he is in Normandy as we record it, with his wife in Honfleur, a nice, charming port for Parisians to spend the weekend. And he walked in the streets and he said, everything's all right, don't worry. So maybe we shouldn't.
We shouldn't.
Vous écoutez So French.
You are listening to So French.
France has launched a nationwide investigation into several cases of babies being born with missing or deformed arms. Especially in rural France, where abnormal rates of deformations were detected in several regions of the country. It's a strange story that has been in the French media for the last couple of days. What do we know about the situation so far?
Yeah, this is really a story. It's a mystery, and it's sort of been grappling in French public for, as you say, some weeks now.
Yeah.
Well, it started with about an alert regarding 7 children that were born in the same area within like a perimeter of 17 kilometers. And they were all born between 2009 and 2014, so within 5 years. And they were all born with a very specific syndrome, which is like that the arms are not developing as they should. It could be that the arm is too small, arms are too small, or that they're only half an arm. It's a list of very specific syndrome. Now, the Public Health France agency, so the authority in these cases, quite quickly came to the conclusion that there was nothing strange about this at all, and they closed. They didn't actually open a proper investigation at all. So this was brought back into the light again, now this recently. This very strange story came to the public attention back in early October, because there were several reports of unusually high numbers of children born with a very specific syndrome. It's their arms are either not developing at all, or they are too small to what they should be normally. And they noticed that these syndromes and these, you know, unusual numbers in 3 different regions of France, and especially in one region where you had 7 babies born within the the span of 5 years between 2009 and 2014. And they were all born in an area of a perimeter of like 17 kilometers. So it's a very limited area. And then there are two other areas as well. There's one in Brittany and one in Loire-Atlantique, which is south of Brittany. So doctors are now trying to look into this, but the whole scandal has also been that, you know, from there's the public health authority at one point said that, no, there is nothing strange about this. This is normal that you have this amount of babies born with deformities, while you have then other scientists saying that, no, this is like tens of times higher numbers than normal.
And also there was the director of this health agency. She was fired because she was the whistleblower. And now her... Now she's not being fired anymore. It's being cancelled. But of course, there's a lot of criticism that, you know, that the government is trying to cover up something. Of course,
exactly. And then they both been trying to cover up, and then they've been not been trying to go, you know, to the bottom of these stories. Where, because of course, what do we know? What is the reason behind this? Well, for now, we don't know at all. But what they have excluded so far, when they have been interviewing the mothers of these children, is that it's not due to any drugs or drug abuse or alcohol abuse, which could be a reason for this kind of syndrome. But what they do know is that all these families and these women, while they were pregnant, lived in a very rural area. And we do know that pesticides are being used in a lot of the French agriculture. And of course, that is one of the fears that the scientists and the families, of course, have, that, you know, this would be the result of something coming from the outside.
Yeah, of course. But that needs, of course, very thorough scientific research. It could also be that it's just bad luck. That's what the government said in the beginning.
Of course. It could be. But I mean, in any case, this is the kind of story that needs a thorough investigation. I think that most people would agree on that.
Yeah,
and, you know,
absolutely.
And no matter what the what comes out of the investigation, you know, it's important to try to find out if there is something from the outside that has is the reason for this.
Yeah, and the French government was really reluctant in the beginning, but well, there was of course a lot of media attention. People got angry, so now there will be a scientific investigation, which will probably take about 6 months. So in the summer of next year, we will know what's causing.
Yeah, I think we'll exactly already maybe already after Christmas somewhere we could see the first results of this. Even though it will of course take a long time to get the full report on what's going on. But it doesn't look good. The French authorities, health authorities, has taken a bit of a hit during this story, because it really didn't look good when they were trying to sort of cover up. And
this is not the first time that these French health authorities are under criticism, because the last couple of years there have been some scandals, and every time the French health authorities were not really acting as they should have. So, you know, it's part of a long history of bad... bad reputation cases. But yeah, it's a very of course very tragic story for the people who are hit by this strange phenomenon. So within the next couple of months we will learn what has been happening here in these areas. Maybe you remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about a new memorabilia shop, or actually two. The Élysée, the presidential palace, announced it was launching a souvenir shop to raise funds to renovate and maintain the aging French presidential palace. There were you could buy mugs with Macron and Brigitte and all kinds of
president. What else did it say? It was made in France.
Yeah,
and all of that.
And red, you know, blue, white and red things, and very fancy, pretty expensive as well.
Yeah, and at the same time, another shop was launched.
A funnier.
You must say funnier. Yeah, we did talk about that too. It's called the Élysée. And less Macron flattering, I think we could say. This parody shop sells cups and t-shirts and other stuff, of course, but it's using infamous quotes from Mr. Macron, who is known as the franc-parleur or the straight-talking president. Some of them, of course, is je coûte un pognon de dingue, which has sort of been...
Yeah, pognon de dingue, a crazy amount of cash. Yeah, crossing the street, we talked about that as well. And he spoke to an unemployed young gardener who said that he didn't find a job. And then Macron said, well, if I cross the street, I will find you a job immediately. So that's on a t-shirt as well. And actually, it became more of a joke because this shop is actually quite successful.
It is. It works really well. They have 3,000 online commands have been made. And they made 30,000 euros.
Not bad.
That's the benefit so far.
Yeah.
It's not bad at all. And this shop also is in for a good cause. The money will be given to 3 charities working with migrants and homeless people.
That's nice.
Yeah. So, well.
it's not as quite as popular as the original official Élysée store, though. They had in a couple of days already over 300,000 of goods, euros of goods sold. But yeah, so this is actually a joke that turned into a charity. And of course, the charities are very, very happy with that. And the shop says that they are dreaming that one day Emmanuel Macron will become their godfather of the store.
Do you think we will see him with one of their t-shirts?
Yeah. But so you can order funny stuff. It's the address is enliseboutique.fr with parodies on the products of the official store of the Élysée. But we'll put the link on our website, sofrench.news. Well, Sarah, do you remember this speech of Emmanuel Macron?
We will succeed. Because we are fully committed. Because wherever we live, whoever we are, we all share the same responsibility. Make our planet great again. Thank you.
Yeah.
Of course. How could I not remember the French president, just newly elected, actually, promising to make our planet great again.
Yeah, it was, of course, a reaction to Donald Trump's withdrawal of the Paris Agreements. And indeed, it was the 1st of June 2017, so he was only like 3 weeks a president. And he immediately became a worldwide phenomenon because he took the leadership in the fight against climate change. There was even a website launched, makeourplanetgreatagain.fr. Well, that was 1.5 years ago. Very nice stunt, but more words than action, unfortunately.
Yes, because, well, Macron then took over after François Hollande, who was the one who was the president when the famous Paris Accords were signed, the COP21 Accords signed here in France. 197.
You were there.
I was. I was there. It was a very historic moment, and I very well remember the signature of the accords. So, it was a big moment for the world, I think, and for everyone involved and trying to save this planet. 197 countries signing this agreement. It has since then been a withdrawal by the US, of course. But now, well, a couple of years later, doesn't look like countries are very much living up to these accords. According to the World Resources Institute, very few, actually, of the signatories of these accords actually have adopted policies that will allow them to cut carbon emissions as necessary to actually limit the rise of temperatures to, well, 2 degrees, but hopefully 1.5 degrees. Among them, these countries that are living up to or have adapted some kind of policies are Norway, which is, I think we can...
Strange, because they're earning a lot of money with
oil. And if we're talking about trying to phase out the fossil fuels, Oh, I don't know if Norway is the best one. But anyways,
no, but
apparently...
You know, I had lunch with the Norwegian ambassador a couple of weeks ago, and I pointed this out, and he said, yeah, but we're using this money to make the planet greener. And he didn't really grasp the irony of it. But yeah, indeed. But Norway is,
Norway
is
on the list.
Yeah.
Montenegro is on the list. Macedonia, Canada, Costa Rica, Japan.
Yeah.
Apparently, well... A bunch of countries, 16, not that many though.
Yeah.
But none of the European Union countries.
Incredible.
And not France.
No. So the country of Mr. Make This Planet Great Again is not even living up to its promises.
I think the environment policies has been, the issue of the environment has been a tricky one for Emmanuel Macron. We remember the exit of the Nicolas Hulot, the former environment minister.
Because he was angry that it was going too slowly and that the lobbyists had too much access. Yeah. And, but it's very difficult. I mean, and these days there's a lot of, anger in France about the rise of the gas for cars. And there will be a big, demonstration in a couple of weeks, I think. People driving diesel cars and, you know, polluting the planet. So it is pretty, difficult to do something. And even after this extreme summer, we've had a lot of rainfall in the last couple of weeks, floodings, even deadly victims. It doesn't really work to do something about climate change. But France is not alone. 181 countries out of the 197 do not respect the Paris Agreement. So bad news for
France and bad news for the world.
The planet. Yeah, absolutely.
Now that wraps up this edition of So French. We hope you have enjoyed it. Please follow us on Twitter. It's at So French News. And you can listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and on YouTube.
And don't forget to rate us on iTunes. Please leave a review. That way more people will find us. And if you happen to be in Paris, you can listen to us on air on World Radio Paris. But watch out, we've changed the airtime. As per this week, we're there every 2 weeks on Monday at 12:30 p.m. and 8 p.m. and reruns on Wednesday and Friday at 5 p.m.
And if you like French music, check out our free playlist on Spotify, which we update regularly. Just search for So French Music or click the link on our website.
We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of So French.
Hope you will join us then. Thank you for listening.
Au revoir.